Before a scoop of steamed zucchini or broccoli lands on a third grader's lunch tray, it's grown on a farm somewhere. In tranquil Yolo County, in California's fertile Central Valley, the goal is to make sure that farm is local. In the Esparto School District, in the small town of Quepe, Thaddeus Barsotti and his brothers guide the family business. Their farm, Quepe Organic, is the lead supplier of fresh produce for the Yolo County School District's new Harvest of the Month program.
Edgar, ¿cómo estás? Bien.
Barsotti stops near a cluster of farm workers, taking a break from the sun under a small white tent.
So here we are looking at our heirloom tomato harvest.
He points to row after row of thick, green, tangled vines, supported by metal rods and tied together with sturdy white string.
It's the heirloom jungle.
The plants smell earthy and fresh, and are tall enough and dense enough to hide the workers bending over to pick the fruit.
You wouldn't know it, but there are 30 people in this field harvesting tomatoes.
It's one of those near 100-degree days when heat shimmers above the dust of the field. A picker pushes vines aside to find fruit, tossing to the ground those that don't make the quality cut. They'll fertilize next year's planting. Nearby, another worker assembles cardboard boxes that will soon hold the freshly picked tomatoes. Quepe Organic started in 1976. It now sells produce at farmers' markets, to restaurants, and to stores like Whole Foods. Barsotti believes school kids should also have access to that fresh, seasonal produce. That's why he's agreed to sell and distribute the fruits and vegetables and help run the Harvest of the Month program.
We're certainly looking at it as part of the mission of our company.
Barsotti sees Harvest of the Month as an investment, but also a financial experiment. In fact, he doesn't expect to break even in the beginning, because to make money, he must sell in volume.
We'll have to find out how many kids participate in this, and we'll have to find out how many schools take this seriously, and how many parents take it seriously and ask of their schools for this. And once we see the amount of product that local farms are able to provide to these local schools, that's when we'll know.
Barsotti was born here in the farmhouse 32 years ago. He's part of a fresh crop of young farmers willing to take new risks. Barsotti believes in connecting farms to schools in an effort to help kids understand where produce comes from and convince them to eat more of it.
You're going to get local farms growing local food. You're going to have activity 52 weeks a year in the local economies. You're going to have kids that are eating real food, not processed food, that are getting excited about the fruit and vegetable options. Kids that mature into adults with good eating habits. You're going to see the cost of healthcare reduce. But it's not a quick solution. It's one of those slow and grinding toils that our generation has to take up if we want to see this change.
Yolo County supervisors are committed to that change. They've taken the unusual step of writing it into the general plan. John Young is the Yolo County Agriculture Commissioner. He's the only ag commissioner in California who's leading a farm-to-school effort, and Yolo is ideally situated for it. Agriculture is the county's number one industry. 662 farms do about $500 million a year in business here. Young says keeping some of that money circulating in the local economy leads to growth.
The more that money grows, the more money spent in your economy, and pretty soon you become a self-sustaining economy, and really that's what the local food movement's about.
Yolo County is launching the Harvest of the Month program this school year. Each month, a different fruit or veggie is highlighted in the classrooms and cafeterias of every school in the county. The program isn't fully funded, but Young says the county is taking the leap anyway, relying mostly on volunteers and a Costco-style sales approach.
You go to the Costco and there's people, as you're standing in line and you're walking around, they're giving you samples. It's the same thing. You have the kids, they're in a line, you give them samples of the product. You give them samples in the classroom, they help prepare the product. That's the connection.
Back at the Quepe Organic Farm, fields are being irrigated and fertilized for planting. Thaddeus Barsotti says his produce has to taste good enough for kids to eat it.
We grow a great variety of Knott's carrot. It's very sweet. Kids love it. But because it's sweet, it's really crunchy and crispy. And that's why most shippers won't use it, is because it breaks on the way to its destination. But we don't care about that. We want good quality local food that tastes great. And we're not shipping it very far, so we're not concerned.
KPE Organics carrots will be the harvest of the month in April at the Winters Joint Unified School District in Yolo County.
My name is Kathleen Olson. I'm the Director of Food Service for the Winters Joint Unified School District.
Olson is supervising a major renovation of the Wagner Elementary School kitchen, where most of the food is prepared for the district's 1,600 students. During the school year, this kitchen bustles with five food service employees who will prepare about 730 lunches a day. Workers are installing new non-skid flooring in the nearly empty kitchen. The shiny ovens, stoves, and coolers have all been moved into a giant jumble in the cafeteria. Olson is making way for a new appliance.
We need the walk-in refrigerator because we're serving more fruits and vegetables than we could store in our existing facility.
A lot more.
The crunch really came this year because the amount of fruits and vegetables and the variety was raised dramatically, maybe 250%.
New federal regulations require schools to put more fruits, veggies, and whole grains on kids' plates beginning this year. But Olson had been moving the district in that direction for the past couple of years. Winters has been part of a USDA grant program with UC Davis that helped to increase the consumption of specialty crops like Romanesco broccoli, painted serpent cucumbers, Asian pears, and fennel. Olson has also launched a local version of the National Farm to School program.
I mean, look at the bounty that is here. I mean, you can't get much more farm to school than some of the best farms in the nation right up the road.
Olson owned a restaurant in Davis for 23 years, so she knows how to make produce taste good. She's also energetic and incredibly creative. On the day she introduced candy-striped figs, she got out her camera.
And one of the students asked me what the camera was for, and I said I was taking photos of fig eaters. And this happened to be a little girl who had never eaten a fruit or vegetable in this school, and she's in second grade. And I'm thinking, she goes, well, maybe I'll try a fig. And I could hardly believe it because, I mean, no one tries a fig first. She wouldn't eat watermelon the week before or strawberries the week before that. I mean, nothing. But she tried a fig, so thought I would take her photo, and she liked it. So now she started asking all the time, where are the figs? When are we having figs?
Olson says often the kids take that excitement home with them to their parents.
I actually had a parent who had never heard of broccoli call me up, and with her child as a translator, explaining it to her and how to cook broccoli.
Adding more fruits and vegetables can be expensive. The federal government is giving schools 6 cents per meal to implement the new regulations.
It's ridiculous. An apple costs 24 cents, so we are looking at being down 18 cents a meal per day.
Olson is also concerned about the effects of other requirements, such as the way kids are served. She says food service employees must put a half a cup of fruit or vegetable on each student's plate in order for the district to be reimbursed by the federal government for the meal.
To make the kids put the food on their plate when they're not going to eat it, it's wasteful.
Olson says increased waste would drive up costs for her food program. Nearly two-thirds of the students in Winters are eligible for free or reduced-price meals based on family income. Students eating reduced-price lunch pay 40 cents, compared to $3 for the full-priced meal. Olson says 86% of this year's meals will fall into the free or reduced categories, so federal reimbursements will account for most of the food service budget. The walk-in fridge is a $45,000 renovation that's coming from that budget. To make things pencil out, Olson depends on canned commodity items purchased at deep discounts. She can't always justify buying fresh foods.
You know, you have 100 and some plus servings in a case of peaches for $3. Cost is pretty low. And when you buy the case of fresh peaches, let's say it's a 48 count, and let's say it's, you know, if the price is good, it's somewhere in the 20s. Pretty dramatic difference cost-wise.
A recent farm-to-school fundraiser brought in about $20,000. Olson says she'll need to continue to raise funds every year to keep improving school lunch. Her "if you offer it, they will eat it" philosophy is working, especially with grades K through 3. But junior high and high school students haven't caught on yet. Take lettuce.
So the amount that we serve in K through 3 in a day is 4 times the amount that the other grades will use in a week. Some of the other offerings have never gone, though, to the older grades because we know that we can prep them and send them there, and we're wasting our money because we're going to end up throwing it away.
For example, Olson says broccoli is only served to elementary students. But one day, they'll be the older kids.
I just can't wait to see some of these kids when they're in high school. That will be the telltale sign. Are they still taking and eating these things? And I think if they're doing it in kindergarten through third grade, they will be. When you acquire a taste for things, it sticks with you. So I think it'll make a great difference.